Good morning, everyone. Really happy and privileged and honored to be part of our worship service this morning. And really thank God for Tyler, too, for we also invite him to speak at church. So I'm the pastor of Green Hills Christian Fellowship Calgary, the Filipino church that meets here every 5 p.m. every Saturday. And we're really happy and blessed by your ministry to us, too. So this morning, we will be talking about transforming our hearts, heads, and hands. Do you believe that as a Christian, we need to transform our hearts, heads, and hands? Or do you also believe that our hearts, our heads, and hands are important to the Lord? There was a story about a husband and wife who was celebrating their 50 years anniversary, a golden years of marriage. How many of you here just finished your 50 years in marriage? Can you just raise your hands? Wow, congratulations. More than 50. How about 60? Wow. All right. How about 70 years? Still? Okay. All right, 60 plus probably, right? So this couple is celebrating their golden anniversary. And then, of course, they invited all of their families, their relatives, their friends at church. And then they have 500 guests during their celebration. And then they have their dinner, and also they have their time of asking questions or testimony about the couple. So one question that was asked during this time of question and answer is this. So how, for the guy, okay, how did you have that marriage for 50 years? And the guy answered, you know what? I just gave everything to my wife, what she needs, what she wants, and that's all for me, and I'll be happy. And I think she's always happy with that, right? Do you think, wife, you will be happy with that if your husband will give you everything you like, right? And that will be a happy day, right? And then another question popped up and said, through your 50 years of marriage, did you have fights or probably some arguments about marriage or about children or about finances or about everything? And then the husband answered, probably sometimes, but not most of the time. Wow, that was a good answer, right? And then, of course, the wife pops up and said, and she said, actually, through that 50 years, we have a lot of challenges, too, with our marriage, right? There's a lot of there's also fights, right? Of course, even Christian marriage do fight, right? Have you experienced that? We have some of our shortcomings too as husband and wife. And then, but you know what? That's a blessing of the Lord, and the woman actually was telling all of the guests that I've learned through the 50 years of marriage. And the last question pops up, what do you do when you have arguments? Or how do you settle things? And then the woman said, actually, through that 50 years, when we have fights or arguments, I just go to the washroom for 1.5 hours or 2 hours just to clean it. And then the husband actually said this, oh, that's why you're always there. Probably one or twice a week, you're washing our washroom when we have fights. And then the woman said, oh, yeah, it's something therapeutic for me. And then one guest asked, so why are you cleaning when you have some arguments? And then the wife said, usually I'm using his toothbrush when I'm washing, when I'm cleaning the washroom. So probably the husbands here would not be angry with me giving you some of the options, right? But actually, that's one good story about even if we are having a Christian life, even in our marriage. Every day of our lives, we need to transform our hearts, our head, and also our hands. Now, Jesus often put his disciples in a real-life situation that will challenge them to love, think about, and serve people that Jesus is reaching out. As they observe and witness how Jesus transformed the lives of the people he encountered, the disciples were also challenged by Jesus to be transformed in his likeness as they follow and serve him. So it's the Bible who gonna tell us, the gospel will tell us, that the Lord Jesus Christ is requiring us to transform our hearts, our heads, and also our hands. Now, there is a story about transforming our hearts, and we have read it earlier. Number one is about transforming our hearts. Now, in Luke chapter 7, verse 1 to 10, there was a story about a centurion. A centurion is a man who was placed by the Romans to be at guard in Israel. So, a centurion is a manager or a leader of 100. So, imagine, this centurion is a Roman guy, and he was watching on what's happening in Israel. And this story happens in Capernaum, in verse 1. Now, in verse 2, it says here, now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurions heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, he is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue. Now, if you come to think about this, and if you will be observing this, this centurion broke through barriers in loving and also caring for his servant. There are three things that this centurion broke the barrier. Number one is this. We are told that this man loved Israel, though it was not the land of his birth. He was a Roman guy. And for Israel and for the Jews, he was the enemy. Remember that. But this guy actually loved the Jewish people. Second is this. He cared deeply about his young servant, which was out of the social norm. Servants, in Jesus Christ's time, you could buy them. You could do everything to them. But this centurion actually cares for this young servant. The third one is this. And he crossed racial and ethnic barriers when he, as a Gentile, appeared to a Jew for a help. That means for the Romans, they're saying themselves that we are more powerful, more intelligent, rather than the Jews, because we are the ones who conquer them. But at this time, this centurion was actually embracing, and he knows and he acknowledged the authority of Jesus Christ towards the life of his servant and also towards his life. Now, you would also see here in verse 6, and Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Now, come to think of it, why do you think this centurion, this Roman guy, doesn't like Jesus Christ to go to his house? When I have a chance to study in Israel, there was a study about the Roman centurion's houses. You remember some probably of the movies of the Romans, right? Probably if you like 300, something like that. So those are the stories that will speak to us about the Roman culture. Usually, a centurion's house, there was an amphitheater, a small amphitheater that they would love to watch gladiators fight. And who knows? And you know who are these gladiators? These are their servants, or these are the Jews that they would like to see fighting. Another thing is that there are also a lot of not good things happening in this house of usually the centurions. So that's why in this passage, the centurion was telling Jesus Christ, I am unworthy of you. That's why you don't need to come here, but just say your words and my servant will be healed. Now, in verse 7, it says here, therefore I did not presume to come to you, but say the word and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority. Okay, that's a verse. Verse 7. Verse 8, for I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to other, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turning to the crowd that followed him said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And imagine it was Jesus Christ who was training his disciples to serve other people, to love them, to accept them for who they are. And you would see here that Jesus Christ in verse 9 tell all of his followers, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. Is Jesus Christ telling us here that this Roman guy is much more faithful than the Jewish or the disciples or the apostles that were following him? And then in verse 10, you would see, and when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. And this was Jesus Christ telling of his followers, his disciples, and the apostles, that we must love the people under us and the people who needs our help. Now, I have a question for you this week. Have you helped a person who is in need this week? Even with your prayers, right? Sometimes our hearts are being hardened because of the people who done harm to us. But here you would see that a centurion who loves a servant, and hopefully all of us will transform our hearts through the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing that we need to transform is to transform our heads. Transform our heads. In Matthew chapter 23, there was a story about Jesus Christ talking to the Pharisees and to the law teachers. In Matthew 23, verse 1 to 12, it says here in verse 1, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do, for they preach, but do not practice. They are up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulder, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. Now, if you would see this story, these are Pharisees, these are keepers of the law. That means they understood what Jesus Christ was telling them about the Bible and the Old Testament. In Jesus Christ's time, did you know that the Pharisees, they memorized the first five books of the Bible? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy by heart. Imagine. So that these people are really good. And you would also see here that Jesus Christ was telling them, hear what they are preaching, but don't do what they are doing. What are they doing? So this is a picture of a Moses seat. Okay, this one is the Moses seat. And Moses seat, if you will be reading the Old Testament, so most of the Israelites, they revered and also respect Moses. So these rabbis or these Pharisees and also teachers of the law would like to be just like a little Moses. And they were telling, do this, do this, and do this. And then Jesus Christ also was telling them, you are concerned with the outside appearance. You grew your phylacteries. You do your prayer shawls too long. So this is a prayer shawl. This was my prayer shawl when I was studying in Israel. And usually, these are what we call tzitzit, right? These are, if you will be counting all of these strands, it is 315, and it will speak about the law in the Old Testament. So that means whenever you are wearing this, you are under the law. That means you are embracing and doing what the Bible is telling you to do. And these Pharisees and also teachers of the law, they let their fringes go long. Usually, this is the standard size of it. But for them, they grew it long. So when they wear it, people would see that they were really embracing the law. And then Jesus Christ was telling them, that is only for your outside. Wow. This was really a life-changing for all of them. And then as we continue the story, you would see in verse 6, and they loved the place of honor at feasts, and the best seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Now, probably some of us, we love this verse, the verse 12, right? But we don't understand sometimes the context about this. The right context about this are there are people in Jesus Christ's time that they would love to see themselves greater than other people, more spiritual, more loving, more intelligent, more knowledgeable. And then Jesus Christ was telling them, you know what? Because you know a lot of things, you have a lot of resources, you are not humble anymore, and you are not dependent on me. Now, you would see here that whoever exalt himself will be humbled. Have you experienced that? Whenever you exalt yourself, then the Lord will humble you. So the Bible is really true when he was telling us, transform your heads. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I appeal to you, brothers, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now here, the author of Romans was telling us that as we seek God's will in our lives, we need to transform our minds or our heads. Now, is the Lord asking you to transform also your head? Sometimes there's a lot of knowledge, but we are not applying it. I remember a story of a new pastor in one local church. So this church was really trying to find a new pastor, and they were really searching for 6 months now. And then one pastor appears, and they most of them would love this pastor because this church is really intelligent church. They are resourceful. They know a lot about the Bible. Is that also true in Crescent Heights Baptist Church? Are the members here intelligent? You know more about the Bible? Probably you memorize it. But this church is, that's what they're thinking. So the pastor, one Sunday, his first Sunday, he preached. And he preached about changing their minds towards the Lord through or transforming their minds. Now, after the service, most of the people at church, they have a meeting, and they were telling each other, you know what? What the pastor preached this morning, I know that, we know that already. And then the pastor heard that, and he was hurt, right? Imagine, the pastor prays for the preaching, he studied for how many hours within the week, and then most of the members would say, we know that already. So the pastor, being intelligent himself, stand in front of the congregation the second Sunday that he was preaching and asked the congregation, how many of you here knows my message this morning? Okay, because this church is too much intelligent. They raised their hands. And then the pastor told them, okay, because you know my sermon today, let's close in prayer and let's go home. Do you think the pastor was also intelligent? Good, right? Now, because the church was so intelligent, they had a meeting after that. So the pastor is also wise. So what we will be doing next Sunday is this. The HAP people will be raising their hands. If the pastor would say, if you know the passage or my preaching, the HAP of the congregation will not raise their hands. Then Sunday came. The pastor, after the worship song, stand again in front of his people and then preach. Who among you here knows my message this morning? And then half of the congregation raised their hands, and half did not raise their hand. Now the pastor told the congregation, for all of you who raise your hand, tell the person who did not raise their hand the message, and let's go home. Okay, so they went home again. And then they had a meeting after that, a message again, and they said, okay, because the pastor is too wise, he's intelligent, let's listen to him. Okay, if he would ask us next Sunday, if we know the message, no one will raise their hands. Okay? Now, after that, the pastor went again Sunday and asked him, who knows my message here? and no one raised their hands. Now, I'm going to ask you today, who knows my message today? Raise your hands. You don't know my message today? Let's go home. Now, those are illustrations or stories about when we are using our heads. It's too much, right? Sometimes the Lord would not penetrate our heads and our minds because we are telling Him, I know too much, Lord. But you know what? As a Christians, we need to transform our hearts and our heads. And the last is this. Not only we need to transform our head and also our hearts, but we also need to transform our hands. Now, a story in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. In verse 1, and when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, and they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. So this is a story about four friends and also a paralytic guy. Now, probably some of you would think, or we need to observe this. Do you think it's easy to have a paralyzed friend? Who among you here have a paralyzed friend or a paralytic friend? Okay. Have you encountered serving that friend? Is it easy? Okay, is it easy? Now, when I was studying in our seminary back in the Philippines, I have one of my classmates. So he has a cancer in the bone. So what happens to him is the right foot was cut because of the cancer. And then his left foot, actually, he could not stretch it or he could not bend it. So one time, we need to travel to another place and we need to bring him. And I am the one, because I've read this passage and I asked four of my classmates, let's do this for this guy because it was in the gospel. And I tell you, that is just like probably 2 to 3 hours travel, and it's really hard. And I'm thinking, and I am regretting, do I need to do this, Lord, because it's really hard. Imagine bringing him up from his bed and also going to another place, putting him in the car. It's really challenging. And imagine, it's just like 3 hours. And if you will be studying this, probably this man were traveling 1 to 2 days in foot, walking just to carry their friends to Capernaum. So you would imagine these friends and also the paralyzed person. But we must also think about this. If you are the paralyzed friend, would you trust your friends to bring you to Jesus? That's one thing. Because a paralyzed person, he was thinking, oh, it's hot. Probably some of you will be tired carrying me, right? And then he also needs to open his heart that he needs to trust his friends. Another thing here is about the four friends. Probably the four friends could just tell, oh, we'll just do something. Probably let's just play golf, right? Let us not carry this man. It's quite hard. But actually, they allowed themselves to carry this man with their hands so that they could bring them to Jesus. So that's one way of service. And then you would see in the story, in verse 6, now some of the scribes were sitting there. Remember the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? Questioning in their hearts, why this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they had questioned within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed, and walk? Verse 10, but that you may know that the Son of God has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise up, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Now, you would see here that because of the attitude and because of the service of these four friends, the paralyzed person was healed by Jesus Christ. And you would also see how people would react to this miracle of Jesus Christ. So there is a principle here that whenever we serve others, that service will glorify the Lord. And when people will see and heard about that, they will praise God because of our service. Now, this is a good question for all of us right now. How are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ in your life today? How are you serving Him? Now, as we respond to God's word, first is this. Jesus was impressed by the centurion's faith and love toward his servant. He even extended his help to the Jews by building their synagogue so that they could have a place to worship God. How is the current state of your heart towards your family, friends, and co-workers? Are you still growing in your love and care for others? Or our love for others becomes stagnant now? But you know what? As followers of Jesus Christ, we need to transform our hearts day by day because He is asking us to serve other people. Second is this, as we respond to God's word, the Pharisees and the scribes focus more on their knowledge and stature rather than obeying what the Bible was telling them to do. The Holy Spirit wants to convert every word in the scriptures into transformed personalities. Head knowledge without the heart's application is useless. May we always put to action what our minds are learning so it may give glory to the Lord. As we understand about loving God, the Lord is transforming our head, but we need to apply it to our daily living. And the last is this. When the four faithful friends joined their hands together to bring their paralyzed friends to Jesus, it was a marvelous testimony of service, care, and love for the person whom they value. What should be your motivation in helping others? May we serve people in our lives as an extension of our love for the Lord. So let us always remember that as we serve the Lord, our motivation is loving Him. Now, this is my challenge for all of us this coming week. Are you ready to transform your heart, your mind, and also your hands for the Lord? In little things, we could do this for the Lord step by step because I know that the Lord wanting us to change for His glory. Let's pray. Lord, we would like to thank You for our time together. Thank You, Lord God, for Your word and challenging us, Lord God, to transform our heads, our hearts, and also our hands. Lord God, may You forgive us if we, as Your children, are not anymore willing to love others, to serve them, to fill our minds with Your words and applying them in our daily living. But Lord, thank You, because we as Your children, You taught us how to love people. You taught us how to think. You taught us how to give good counsel to our families and friends and relatives. And Lord, thank You too, because You give us our hands to serve other people in our lives. I do pray, Lord God, for everyone. As we live, Lord God, may we serve our spouses. May we serve our children. May we serve our parents. May we serve our church, Lord God, for Your glory. Thank You, Lord God, and may You speak to us, convicting us, Lord God, to transform our hearts, our heads, and our hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.